And our reading this morning is taken from the book of Revelation on page 878 of the Church Bibles. Probably our shortest reading ever so far at Trinity, just two verses for us to consider this morning. I'm going to read from verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Well, we're going to be looking at those verses a bit later on in this talk. If it helps you to follow where we're going, there's an outline in your service sheet, and there's an opportunity at the end to ask any questions or make any comments that you have as we go through. But let's pray and ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the truth of your word, with its power not only to explain your word, but also to save our people from within. And so we ask now, as we consider this issue of how the only reason for stories with happy endings is the gospel, please would the truth of your word bring light to this area, both to explain the reason that we have, but also to expose reasons which are not true reasons, and no basis on which to live. So please help us now with your spirit to illumine our minds, that we might grow in confidence in your word and be better equipped to share the gospel with our friends. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We've probably gathered this morning, we're going to be thinking about how the only reason for stories with happy endings is the gospel. And to kick off, let's have a look at a story with a happy ending. Well, this, of course, is the John Lewis Christmas Advert 2013. And if you were at our Carols by Candlelight service last month, it will be somewhat familiar to you as we showed it then. Now, today isn't simply going to be a repeat of what was said at the Carols by Candlelight. There is going to be some overlap. But we wanted to take the opportunity to reflect not just on what was said, but why it was said. And actually, the aim of this little series of talks called "The Gospel is the Reason" is twofold. On the one hand, our aim is that it will increase our confidence in the unique power of the gospel to explain the world in which we live. And on the other hand, we pray that it will continue to equip us to engage with our non-Christian family and friends with the gospel. And so the story of the bear and the hare is going to be our starting point for us this morning as we think about why everyone loves a happy ending. Now, since Carols by Candlelight, the YouTube ad has been viewed nearly 12 million times, and that's 12 times more than the next most popular Christmas ad. And so there is still no doubt that this ad was a great hit. Even Private Eye took the idea for the front cover of their Christmas edition, which, for your amusement, I've put on the back of your service, or of your handouts. Now, stories with happy endings is an example of what we're going to call a point of contact. And though it doesn't sound technical, a point of contact is actually a technical term. And when we talk about a point of contact, we're not simply referring to something that we have in common with other people, like sport or music, that may eventually lead to an opportunity to present the gospel. When we talk about a point of contact, we're talking about something quite specific. A point of contact is something that everyone is committed to because they're made in the image of God. You see, although the image of God in humanity has been marred by sin, it's not been destroyed, so that every human being continues to reflect something of the God who has made them. And so a point of contact is something that the Christian and the non-Christian share because we're both made in the image of God. Okay? Now, so far in this series, we've considered a number of points of contact. So last year we looked at love, truth, science, giving. And last week we looked at justice. They're on the website, so you can go back to those. And these are all things that people are committed to because we're made in God's image. And today the point of contact is the story with a happy ending, because everyone loves a story with a happy ending. Now, before we go any further, I just wanted to draw out three implications of this for us. Right, the first is this. The story of the bear and the hare is not being used as an illustration. We're not going to use this story to illustrate spiritual truths. So, for example, at the Cowles by Candlelight, I could have asked the question, are you like the bear in the story? Are you asleep to the real meaning of Christmas? Well, you need to wake up to the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ and make this a Christmas you will never forget. Now, you can do that, and that's fine, but that's not what we're doing. Okay? We're not going to use the story to illustrate spiritual truths. Rather, we're using it to introduce the idea that everyone loves a happy ending. And then we're going to ask the question, why? Now, I want to stress this point, because if we're used to hearing stories as illustrations, it is going to be a bit of a paradigm shift for us to sort of think in a new way about this. Now, the second implication is that we're not using, or I've not chosen this story of the bear and the hare because we necessarily like it. I mean, to be fair, when I first saw it, I thought it was a bit naff. I mean, I wonder who here doesn't really like the story of the bear and the hare? There's a few hands. Okay, who loves it? Who would like to see it again? Oh, no. That's a very rare, we very rarely show TV in Trinity Church. That's a treat for this year. So I guess the point is, it's a bit of a mixed bag, isn't it? I don't think you're all persuaded by this story. And actually, the reason that it was picked is it's because that's what other people like. 12 million people, in fact, or at least that's what they're talking about. And so I take it that one of the ways that we love our neighbour is that we're interested in the things that they're interested in. And this will encourage us to find out what it is our friends and family and neighbours and colleagues are committed to. What do they value? Because they form points of contact with which we can engage and ask the question, why? You see, if I'm always expressing opinions about what I like, that's quite self-centred. Whereas if I'm interested in finding out about other people and what they're committed to, well, that's other person-centred. And in this way, there's a sort of a sacrificial element to loving our neighbour. Now, the third thing to acknowledge is that the bear and the hare is just an example to establish the more general point that everyone loves a happy ending. And so if people don't like that particular story, we're going to have to do a bit more work to persuade people that everyone loves a happy ending. And so we need to talk a bit more widely about the stories we enjoy to get everyone on board. And so I was spending a weekend with my godson the other month. And when it came to bedtime, he asked me to read him a story. He laid out 7 or 8 books on his bedroom floor and asked me to pick the one I wanted to read to him. And so I said, "Do all your stories have happy endings?" And he looked at me as if it was a silly question and said, "Of course they do." But it's not just children who love stories with happy endings. Many of the novels we read or the films we enjoy have happy endings. I wonder, has anyone seen the new BBC drama, The 739? It's a beautiful shot piece of storytelling, and it seems to have some very good reviews. It follows married letting agent Carl, played by David Morrissey, and gym manager Sally, who meet by chance on the 739 commuter train and fall in love. Now, without spoiling the end for you, you can imagine how it ended. And so whether we're young or we're old, we do seem to like stories with happy endings. Now, at this point, having sort of established a sort of point of contact, I want us to begin thinking about making a link between our point of contact and our worldview. Now, that can seem a bit strange at first, especially if we're used to thinking fairly piecemeal about stuff. I'm committed to this. I kind of like to think of the world a bit like this, without really giving too much thought to any links that might exist. And help us see the link between worldview and point of contact. I want us, by way of example, to consider the Greeks. Because humanity hasn't always told stories with happy endings. The favourite story of the Greeks was the tragedy. And this is a story in which the main character is brought to ruin or suffers extreme sorrow, and this all because of his or her own moral weakness and unfortunate circumstances. Let me give you an example and consider a Greek tragedy version of The Bear and the Hare. Now, I appreciate that some of us will find this upsetting, but it is necessary to make the point. So, Bear and Hare meet in the wood. Hare talks to him about looking forward to celebrating Christmas, but Bear explains that he will be hibernating throughout the winter, as bears do. Bear goes into his cave to hibernate, and as he's settling down, he decides instead to hold off hibernating till the new year and celebrate what will be for him his first Christmas. Well, he takes a snooze, and while he's asleep, Hare, who thinks Bear's hibernating, goes to Bear's cave and hides a small present for him behind a rock. Come Christmas Eve, Bear decides to make preparations for his Christmas dinner. He goes to Hare's house and kills him. He takes him back to his cave and puts him in a pot to cook. This is a tragedy. I'm not supposed to laugh at this. We're doing humour in a couple of weeks. While Hare is slow cooking, Bear turns in for the night, only to be woken abruptly by the sound of ringing the following morning. Finding a small present behind a rock, he unwraps it to discover an alarm clock going off. And with it, a note saying, "Happy Christmas, Bear. Hope you'll join us to celebrate together. Love, Hare." As Bear looks towards the cooking pot and see Hare going round and round, he realises what he has done. Now, I want to say that most of us don't like stories like that. And John Lewis knows it. But the Greeks love them. Why? Well, the Greeks told tragedies because they reflected what the Greeks believed about the world. They believed that the world was moving from life to death. That things had begun well in a world of plenty and joy, but the world was bound to degenerate and decline until it spluttered and whimpered to a halt. Now, for them, the golden age was always in the past. And given that that was their story of the world, their worldview, that was then reflected in the stories that they wrote and told to one another, the tragedy. So do you see the link between worldview and the stories that we tell? Okay, the stories reflect the worldview. Which raises the question, what worldview leads us to tell stories with happy endings? Well, let's consider a few possibilities. I mean, there's endless possibilities, as many more worldviews than you care to think. But let's consider two popular ones. Materialism. What kind of stories would a materialist tell if they were true to their beliefs? Well, they might tell the story of how Bear kits out his new cave with all the latest stuff from John Lewis, a Christmas hamper, scented candles, and an iPad Air. Yet that's not the story that John Lewis tells. And it is interesting that John Lewis hardly mentions stuff at all. I mean, apart from the alarm clock, there's no mention of the things that John Lewis sell. And that's because that's not what they're selling in the advert. They're not selling stuff. They're selling a happy ending. Or what about evolutionism? That's the story of the survival of the fittest, to count the cycles of life and death, the weak die and the strong survive. If that's our story of the world, then what stories would we tell if this were true? Well, a private eye have run with this, haven't they? And you know, although you may try and run with the story so far, it ends with the bear waking up and massacring and eating all the other animals. In this way, it establishes its superior strength and dominance over all other species, and therefore continues the cycle of the survival of the fittest. Yet that's not the story that they tell. So do you see, the Greeks, they tell the story of the bear and the cooking pot. The materialists tell the story of the bear and their new stuff. The evolutionists tell of the bear and his brutal survival. Yet we love the bear and the hare with the happy ending. Which still leaves the question, what worldview leads us to value and be committed to happy endings? Do you see the logic? Do you see how that's sort of working? That's what we're sort of playing with. Well, we know the answer. We know the reason. Well, the Christian does. Because the reason we love stories with happy endings is because they reflect a biblical worldview. The happy ending reflects the story of the Bible. The shape of the Bible is a story, starting in the book of Genesis with creation and ending in the book of Revelation with the new creation. It's a story from creation to new creation. And in particular, it's a story with a happy ending. That's the picture we're given in the book of Revelation that we read together earlier. And when the story of the Bible is reflected in the stories that we tell, that's when people say, we've got something here. This is something of value and of worth that we're committed to. Or to put it another way, the only worldview that leads us to tell stories with happy endings is the biblical worldview. So do you see where we've got to? The point of contact is that everyone loves stories with happy endings. Well, why is that? Well, the stories we tell, if they're consistent, reflect the way we think about the world. Yet the Greeks, the materialists, and the evolutionists, if they're true to their worldview, ought not to love stories with happy endings. Yet people do, and they struggle to give a reason. And the only reason to love stories with happy endings is that they reflect the truth of the story of the Bible. Well, given that the stories with happy endings that we tell are only reflections of the story of the Bible, it's not going to be a surprise to learn that the story of the Bible has an edge over all the other happy stories that we tell. It's not a surprise because the stories that we tell are, after all, only a reflection of the real thing. And so as we finish, let's consider two edges about the extraordinary ending of the Bible from this passage in Revelation 21. If you turn with me, it's on page 878. The first is that the ending that's described is a new beginning, a new state of affairs that will last forever. Let's read again verse 4. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So notice that John isn't just talking about a highlight in the story of the world after which things return to normal. What he's actually talking about is a change of order. The old order, which is dominated by death and suffering, will end, and a new order will be established, where death and suffering will be no more. Now, we try to capture this in the stories that we tell by using the phrase, and they lived happily ever after, or at least implying that sort of idea. But it usually doesn't work very well. So take the bear and the hare. Once Christmas is over, life with the animals in the wood will go back to normal. And so really, the end of the story is nothing more than just a highlight in the year for the animals in the wood. But the end of the Bible is different, because it's not just a highlight in the story of the world. There's no fear of returning to how things once were, because the old order has passed away and a new order has begun. Do you see the edge that the reality says? Consider the second edge. And that's that the end of the Bible is better than the beginning of the Bible. The Bible begins with God dwelling with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and the Bible ends with God dwelling not just with Adam and Eve, but with all his people. And that's what John writes in verse 3. He says, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." Now, the reason that the end is better than the beginning isn't simply because there are more people, but it's because the people know God in a way that the first humans never did. As the story of the Bible unfolds and humanity becomes hostile to God, they were to learn what it would take for them to be included in God's people. They were to learn of God's astonishing love towards them, who were themselves quite frankly wicked. And they were to learn of God the Father sending God the Son into the world to die on a cross in their place. Now, again, you see something of the end is greater than the beginning in the story of the bear and the hare. You know, the relationships aren't quite the same, are they? At the end, you know, bear has new affections for hare, maybe. But that's just a dim reflection of the reality of which it speaks. In an earlier part of John's vision in Revelation chapter 5, he sees how God's people will forever praise him and sing about the undeserved love that he has shown them in sending his Son. See, in the Garden of Eden, they couldn't sing that song. But in the new creation, all of God's people will. In this way, the Bible doesn't so much conclude with a happy ending, but what you might say, everlasting glory. it will be everlasting, and it marks the beginning of a new order that will never pass away. And it will be glory, and that we will know God in a way that Adam and Eve never did. Well, in a moment, if you have any questions or comments about the things that have been said, then I'll open it up. But let's first pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for these two wonderful truths about the new creation that we see in the book of Revelation. That it's not just a return to an old beginning, but it's a picture of everlasting glory. Father, we thank you that you've included us in that through faith in the blood of your Son. And we do long that others would also know of this and be included in this new creation. We thank you this little series presents in both growing in confidence in your word to explain the world in which we live, but also to consider how we can engage with our friends with the gospel. And so I do ask that in question time now and in the rest of today and really just throughout this series that you might help us to love our neighbours and help them to understand the reason that they're committed to the things that they are, that they might have eternal life with us. For we ask in Jesus' name, Amen. Well, are there any questions or comments that people have? Yes. So let's get some more. Yeah, so just for the purposes of recording, it's a great question. I was saying that the reason that we people love stories with happy endings, that's because we're made in God's image, but it seems like the Greeks didn't love stories with happy endings, therefore, does that mean they're not made in God's image? Sort of, what's going on? So, a few things to say. The first thing, well, I don't know, in no particular order. So the fact that we're made in God's image, since the fall, that image has been distorted. And so that will help to explain why people value things in a sort of a distorted way. And so it's not simply going to be the case of that people love truth and love these things in the right way. It's always going to be sort of truth distorted. So there is something about people won't. So, for example, with the justice thing, I was chatting to somebody at Christmas and they didn't value justice. And so, you know, you kind of think, well, why do you not do that? And there's a sort of a twisting there. So, although we say something that everybody's committed to, it's not quite as straightforward to that because we twist the good things of God. The second thing would be is that actually, I don't know very much about Greek literature, but they didn't just tell tragedies. So there were some stories which did have happy endings. So that's worth saying as well, which were popular. A third thing, which is one of the books I read, and he went with this a little way, but I thought it was quite interesting, is that he was saying that actually... the only reason for a tragedy is the gospel. So basically, Christians, we're the only ones that can have anything, really, and give a reason. Because he was saying, like, if the world is going from death, life to death, that's their sort of worldview, then actually, if that happens in the stories of people's lives, that's just what happens. What's tragic about that? Why is that a bad thing? You're just sort of going with the flow of the story of the world. And actually, the Christian, we have, he called it like a deep tragedy. We have the real tragedy, because it's only because the story of the Bible is creation to new creation, it's a happy ending, that the tragedy is for those who reject the gospel, who reject the offer of eternal life, who reject their creator for things that he's created and therefore die and face judgment. And so actually it's only really in the context of the greater story of the happy ending that the tragedy sort of makes sense. So that's... any other questions or comments? I was hoping somebody would ask a question. Can I just say one more thing? I have something that I kind of primed Tim, but he's looking a bit shifty, so he's not going to ask me. It's a bit of an embryonic thought, but again, I think this is one of the best thoughts I had from reading. I just want to share with you because it's just the sort of thing we want to sort of dig a bit deeper. So one question you might have asked me is... this is great, isn't it? I know. Paul, where were you, mate? I had you down for this. Are you, mate? So the question you ought to have been asking, a question is, what about, or is there anything distinctly about God as Trinity, which means that we have stories with happy endings? Or in contrast, what about things like kind of Islam? You know, can the Muslim give a reason for stories with happy endings? You know, what is there? Because often we kind of talk about a Trinity, don't we? The Father, Son, Spirit relationships somehow account for things in a way that even a monad is unable to. You know that sort of idea? Yeah? Anyway, so here's the thought. So one of the reasons that we think that, the people think that the world's going from life to death is because they assume that if you've got like kind of the origins of everything, when something kind of leaves the origin, like creation leaves sort of the kind of its origin, it's necessarily going to be less than the origin. Do you know what I mean? When something leaves its beginnings, it's destined to sort of diminish and die and decay. Do you get that sort of idea? So that was sort of the deeper thinking behind it. That if you have the origins, when something kind of is given birth to, it's destined. And that's why they thought the world's going from life to death. But the Trinity gives us a reason to think that isn't necessarily the state of affairs. Because consider the relationship between Father and Son. Okay? Or Father and Son. There's a sense in which the Son comes from the Father. That there's, you know, those who've been doing Equip to Serve, we might say that the Father begets the Son. Okay? But even though the Son finds his origins in the Father, he's no way diminished or less than. You know, because the Son is fully God as the Father is fully God. And so actually the Father-Son relationship is a basis how God can create something which isn't destined to diminish and die and decay, because it kind of reflects the eternal relationships between Father and Son. Does that make sense? So in which case, again, there's a uniqueness there that Trinity can explain. In fact, it's the only basis for creation, really. You can't have creation any other way. But anyway, I just thought that was a thought.